This is our family. My wife, and we do have six children, ages 6 to 21. The youngest four are with us, the oldest two are in college. And we're with Fellowship International Mission, and we served, as was mentioned, for 18 years in the country of Mexico. Now, for all of you soccer fans that maybe saw the game on Friday night, wasn't that great? The U.S. beat Mexico 2-0. Now, you might think, but you're a missionary in Mexico. Shouldn't you root for Mexico? No way. I love giving my Mexican friends a hard time, but most of the time, since Mexico normally beat the U.S., they give me a hard time. So it was fun on Friday to give them a hard time about Mexico losing the U.S. We lived on the north side of Mexico City, where that A is. That's the city of Tecama. And that's where we lived for the last 8 years. Before that, we were in another city. But in the city of Tecama, we went there and moved there just our family to start the Centro de Apoyo Familiar Esperanza, which means the Hope Family Support Center. And in this, as you already heard all of this, we did guitar classes, English classes. I don't play the guitar, but we had somebody else come in. I did teach English because I speak English better than most Mexican. So English classes. My wife did women's crafting classes, but she also did cooking classes. So we had lots of different activities like that. Every summer we would do 3 weeks of kids club. Now we would do a week of soccer. We would do a week of basketball camp. And then when we would have groups come down to work with us, to help us, we would have crafts for the kids too. And even the moms got involved in that. We didn't do this when we were by ourselves because it was hard. When we had group 10, 15 people come, we would be able to do more things like this. And every year I'd get a pie in the face. They would always choose me to get the pie because the winning team would always get to choose who gets it. And I would always lose and get the pie in the face. And the last week we would do is vacation Bible school. We normally had approximately 100 to 150 kids that would come. The vacation Bible school wasn't quite as well attended as the other activities, but that was every summer. As was mentioned also, we also did a lot of biblical counseling. People are suffering, need help with problems, and they would come, and we would be able to help them that way. During COVID, there were lots of people that lost jobs, and they needed help. And we were able to raise funds in the U.S., and we bought lots of food and toilet paper, as you see there. I know that in the U.S., during the beginning of COVID, there was a shortage of toilet paper. We didn't have that problem in Mexico. I was even thinking it'd be a good business, buy all the toilet paper up here and sell it on eBay or something for like $10 a roll. Not really, but it did cross my mind, but I didn't ever really consider it. But we did a lot of COVID reading, helping people that were in need, and our kids got involved and helped to pack up the bag that we could take out. So why do I share all of this, these different activities, these different ministries that we started? What was the purpose of this? Why did we do this? We did it, yes, the people needed help with during COVID. Yes, we were able to help people with their problems, but that wasn't the main purpose. The purpose of all of these activities, everything that you're seeing here in these pictures, the purpose was the gospel. We did all of these activities so that we would have the opportunity to share the gospel with these people. We were able to develop relationships with you, start Bible studies, share the gospel. When people are going through problems, then they come to us for help. And we were able to share the gospel with them. And through this ministry, we were able to start God is My Hope Bible Church. And this church, we started meeting in the small house in this room right here. Then we moved across the street to another building that's a little bit bigger. And now they're meeting out park because of COVID. There's lots of restrictions in Mexico, and so they're meeting in a park. Now, as was mentioned, we've got a new ministry in mobilization. I'm the director of mobilization at Fellowship International Mission. And what is mobilization is developing the next generation of missionaries. Sometimes people are already wanting to be missionaries, and so we help them through the process and help them, disciple them, mentor them along the way. And prepare them for missionary to be missionaries, but also it's about inspiring Christ followers to get involved in mission. And so I want to get more people involved in global ministry. There's a great need in the world today. Another ministry that I work with is called Overseas Instruction and Counseling. In December and in February, I'll be going back to Mexico for trips to train through biblical counseling training. This is with pastors and church leaders there. Also, we do counseling missionaries and helping missionaries that are on the field that might be going through difficult times. So that's what we're doing. I'm going to stop sharing now. Okay. So hopefully you can see me again. So there's lots of different things that we were doing. And why did I share all of that? I shared that with you because I want you to know that God can use you to serve in missions in many different areas. A lot of people think it's just preachers, just pastors. But there's lots of different ways to serve in missions. I would have loved it to have somebody that could come teach English as a full-time job. They could be involved in other ministries as well, but developing those relationships for evangelism, sports ministries, to do the same thing, to reach people with the gospel. There's lots of different things that you can do to serve in mission. I met with a guy a couple of weeks ago, and you know what he's doing as a missionary? He's a beekeeper. You might think, how can he do beekeeping in missions? Well, he lives in a country where you can't get in as a missionary. So he goes in and he's working at the university as a beekeeper. He's teaching at the university on beekeeping. And that's how he's able to start a church in the country that he's in. And so there's lots of different things that you can do as a missionary. It's not just being a pastor and going to start a church that way. We would have loved to have people come with us. That didn't provide anybody. We would have loved to have people come live with us and do different kinds of ministries like that to help start a church. You may say, well, I could never do that. What is it to be a good missionary? It takes two key things. First of all, loving God. Love God with all your heart, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two key ingredients. First of all, loving God. First of all, we're not going to go as a missionary if we don't love God. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But the second thing is that we need to love our neighbors. And that's what we were trying to do in Mexico, just love them. God has blessed us with so much. First of all, our salvation, the forgiveness of sin. God has given us so much. And when we can go and, with the blessing that we receive, bless those that are there in Mexico, you know, or wherever God calls you around the world, that's going to open up doors to be able to share the gospel with those people. We've been blessed with so much. We can bless others. I could never get up and do public speaking. You don't have to in many cases. I'm sure there's going to be some times you might have to, but you can do it. And also Moses in Exodus 4, when God was sending him, he said, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in past or since. You have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. But the Lord said to him, who has made me a man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with you with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. If God calls you to be a missionary, he's going to help you. So I want you to think about, and this is going to be the first discussion question of the day, what are your skills, abilities, and interests, and how could you potentially use them in mission? They're going to put that up on the screen, and you have 4 minutes to discuss how you can use those abilities, skills, and interests in mission. Okay, great, thanks. Well, I hope that some of you were able to think, maybe I can serve as a missionary. Maybe I can use some of the ways that God has given me to serve him as a missionary. Now, how do you know if God wants you to be a missionary or not? Well, there's not enough time to go through. I have a whole study on that one. But I would just like to share my testimony of how God used different things in my life to get me into mission. When I was a senior in high school, my dad took me on a mission trip to Honduras. That's in Central America, for those that might not know where that is. And when I went to Honduras, before I went, I was really excited. Oh, this is going to be a great trip. I get to go to another culture. I've been taking Spanish in school. I get to learn to see if I really understand it or not. And the answer was no, I didn't. And I didn't know much at all. But I was so excited about the trip. And I was thinking, this will be great, but I never want to be a missionary. Well, God used that trip to get me involved in mission. First of all, the trip when I was there, I spent three of probably the worst nights in my life while I was in Honduras. We went on a men's retreat. We left on a Saturday morning. It was raining, and it was by boat. We were in an 18-foot boat. There were 13 of us. Then there was a canoe with another 10 people. And we went in the Caribbean up the coast to a point about a 3-4 hour boat trip. And it rained the whole way. When we got to the beach where we were going to do the men's retreat, we had to build shelters. And so we built using palm branches and banana leaves and things like that to try to build shelter. And it kept raining and raining. And that shelter did not help at all. So all night it starts out drip, drip. And then after a while, it's just drip, 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 drip. And we were getting soaked. We didn't get any sleep that night. When it got late in the morning, we were going to say, well, it wasn't a very good trip. We're going to try to go back. But the waves were too big for the canoe to get out into the water. And so we decided to wait. A couple hours later, it cleared up. And so we spent the day, then headed on our trip back. And on the trip back, we left the canoe after about 2 hours. They left to go to another town, and we were going to keep going straight to where we were for another couple of hours. Well, 5 minutes after the canoe left us, the motor stops. And we're sitting there trying to get the motor started, and the waves of the current is taking us out further and further into the sea. Fortunately, after a while, we said, we better just try to anchor. And so we anchored, and fortunately we were in a spot where it was shallow enough, and we anchored there, and we spent the night out in the water. We were in the boat for a total of 20 hours. We had a spotlight, and we were trying to shine it all over to get people's attention, but people thought we were out there selling drugs, and so they didn't respond to the spotlight. And the next morning we saw a fisherman come by, and he towed us into close to shore, and he said, if nobody comes to help you, once I'm done fishing, I will tow you in the rest of the way. And so during this time, the Coast Guard was looking for us. The Coast Guard had given us up for dead. Well, the fisherman came back and he towed us into the rest of the way to the shore. And we heard all this, that the Coast Guard was looking for us and everything. But because we were in a town that didn't have any way to communicate with the outside world, they just had radio to listen to. We weren't able to communicate, so people had to walk up the beach. So that night, we had to sleep in a church that was in that town on these wooden benches with bats flying over top of us. Those were three of the worst nights that I've ever had. Three nights in a row, we were completely exhausted after this. But God used that to call me into missions. The people that we met, the time that we got to spend with missionaries, just seeing what it was like. Oh, so this is what it's like to be a missionary. It completely changed my perspective on mission. And then just the people were just, oh, I just fell in love with them. The morning that we left, about 50 people showed up at the missionary's house, serenaded us at like 5 o'clock in the morning before we were going to the airport. And just those relationships, God really used that to put a burden in my heart for mission. I went back. I wasn't sure. I didn't know if God wanted me to be a missionary, but now I was willing. I went to college and started out as a math education major. Summer after my freshman year, I went back to Honduras. And then after that trip, I came back to God. If I don't know what your plans are, I don't know what you want, but I'm willing to be a missionary. And I went back, changed my major from math education over to mission. And so I went through the 4 years of college, graduated, and I still didn't know what God was going to do with me. and I had looked for different opportunities and nothing was still open. The week after I graduated, God opened up the door for me to go to the Dominican Republic. I knew what I was going to do for the summer, but after that, I was like, I have no idea what I'm going to do. So God opened up that door for me to go to the Dominican Republic, so I just went right through it. And I ended up living there for a year. Then I came back to the U.S., and my wife and I were married. We went to Honduras for 2.5 years, and then we moved to Mexico, where we've been for the last 18 years. So how do we know that God is calling us in commission? It's not some mystical thing, really. First of all, I would say be willing. Are you willing to be a missionary? Isaiah 6:8, Isaiah said, when God said, this is what he says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And that's the way I was back in when I was in college. Here I am, send me, I'm willing to go. And we all should be willing to go. We're going to talk a little bit about that more in the next section. But we should all be willing to go. Second thing is be obedient where you are right now. Are you obeying God right now? Are you doing God's will for your life right now? We can all know what God's will is right now. For example, you are all in school. Well, I assume you are anyway. You're in school. Is it God's will that you're in school? Yes, it's the law. Obeying the government is the law. So that's God's will for us. Obeying your parents. Your relationship with God. Are you growing to be more like Christ? That is all God's will. Spending time with him. Going to church. You're obviously at church right now. Unless this is being streamed and you're at home, I don't know. We all can follow God's law, what he tells us to do right now, and that's his word. By following his word. Are you following God's word? First of all, the desire to go, be willing to go. I'm willing to go, and I'm following God right now. The third way that I would recommend that you do is to go on mission trips. I would challenge each of you to go on a mission trip. Now, I know that there's lots of opportunities, that there has been. Right now with COVID, there's not as many. But there's lots of opportunities at RBC to go on cross-cultural mission trips. I challenge each of you to go on a mission trip. And as you go, think. Don't just go and, oh, this is going to be fun like I did when I first went. But go, could God be calling me to be a missionary here? Well, how could I fit in? How could I serve? Talk to the missionaries. Talk to people where you are. How could I, God, use me? Ask them, how could God use me as a missionary here in this place? So those are three keys. There's other things as well, but those are three things that I would recommend for you. First, be willing. Second, be obedient. And third, go on a mission trip. So that leads us to the second question of why should you go on a mission trip? Why should you go on a mission trip? Okay, very good. Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And as you're looking, I'm going to share what I would say for that last answer. Why go on mission trip? First of all, to learn about mission. For those that have gone, I'm sure that your perspective on missions has completely changed, and it will change by going on a mission trip. Second is to serve, and you will have an impact on the lives of the people there that you serve, whether they're for the gospel or those believers, and help them grow. Third, you will grow. As part of this experience of going on a mission trip. And last, God might use this mission trip to call you into mission. And so that's why I challenge you, when you go on a mission trip, to go with that, God, I'm willing. Use this mission trip to either clarify whether you want me to go as a missionary or not. So that's how I would answer that last question. So let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 now. The question is, why be a missionary? Why should I leave the U.S. to go overseas to be a missionary somewhere? It's not an easy life all the time to be a missionary. Why should I do it? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul gives us a couple of reasons, two good reasons that we should be missionaries. And Paul was a missionary, and he is talking in this passage about being an ambassador for Christ, taking the gospel, the love. So in verses 10 and 11, this is what Paul says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others." The first part gives his motive. This last part says what he's going to do about it. And he says, "For we persuade others." Now, he's not trying to persuade people about vaccines. He's not trying to persuade people about CRT and other issues on the day. He's trying to persuade people to accept the gospel. And that's what his motive, his ministry was, what his purpose was. But why? Because we are all going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You all, if you're in public school, you're around kids, that most of your friends are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and they don't know Christ. And they're going to die and be judged and sent to hell for their sins. When we look out at the world today, there's a close to 8 billion people in the world today. Of those 8 billion, about a third or more of them live in areas where there's less than 2% Christian. There are about 25% of people living in the world today, 25% that will never have a Bible. They will never attend a church. They will never see a church. They will never even know a Christian. Those 25%, almost 2 billion people, when they die, they're going to go to hell. That should be a great motive for us. We all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Your friends that don't know Christ, do you want them to go to hell? We should think about the fear of the Lord, like it says here, about the judgment seat of Christ. And that should be a great motivation for us to want to take the gospel. Is that a motivation for you? It should be. I challenge you to think about that this week. When you're at school, or when you're with friends or with people that don't know Christ, think about that. This person is going to die and spend eternity in hell if they don't know Christ. That's going to motivate us to take the gospel to that person and to motivate us to invite them to youth group church. Second thing is the love of Christ in chapter 5 verses 14 and 15, a few verses down. It says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." So in this passage, we see the love of Christ. That's an amazing love, isn't it? Jesus took our sins on himself. He loved us so much that he took our punishment so that we don't have to go to hell. He died a cruel death on the cross so that we don't have to. And that love that he showed us should control us, should motivate us to take the gospel for the lost. Let's use this as an example. Since all of you in junior high are with Pastor Aaron right now, and most of you in senior high were with him earlier, we're going to say this. We're going to say that you were arrested for a crime. And for your crime, the judge says that the penalty is you have to either pay $10 million or you have to go to jail for the rest of your life. And you're thinking, I don't have $10 million. I can't go to jail for the rest of my life. What am I going to do? Well, we know that pastors are paid really well. Okay, not really, but we know that Pastor Aaron comes and says, you know what? I'm going to pay your fine. Pastor Aaron, he puts a mortgage, sells his house, sells everything he has, takes out a huge loan, and pays off the $10 million. Now, how would you feel towards Pastor Aaron, the effect of Pastor Aaron? I imagine that most of you would be like, wow, thank you so much. I can't believe you did that. Pastor Aaron, hey, this Saturday, do you need anybody to wash your car? Hey, I can come cut your grass. And painting? I'll paint your whole house. What do you mean? I'll do it. And we'd be willing to do whatever. Why? because of the gratitude that we have towards him, because of his sacrifice for us. That should be what we should be, or that should be our attitude towards Christ. He loved us so much. He gave us the greatest blessing that we could ever imagine. He died for us. And he gave us the greatest gift, eternal life, forgiveness of sin. We don't have to go to hell. That should be the greatest motivation for us, to be a blessing to others by taking the same blessing that he's given to us and take it around the world to share the gospel with others. Are you willing to take the gospel? We've just seen two great motives. First of all is that people are going to die and go to hell without Christ. The second is Jesus died for us so that we would live for him. Are you willing to give your life to serve Christ? Now, God doesn't want most of you to be missionaries. I know that for a fact. But does God want some of you to be missionaries? Does God want some of you to take the gospel to the lost? Probably. But we all should be willing to take the gospel to the lost. Now, we're going to have this last question now. And after this question, if it's okay, I'm asking permission. I'd like 1 minute. I've only used about 8 of my 10 minutes. So I'd like 1 minute afterward just to wrap this whole thing up. The question is, if God calls you into mission, are you willing to go? That's the first question. Are you willing? The second is, what is something that keeps people from becoming missionaries? So I'd like you to answer those two. And then hopefully I'll come back to that one final minute as we close. Thank you very much. As I close, just have a couple questions. Are you willing to be a missionary? I hope that the answer to that in the group, I go, yes, if you are willing. Not necessarily that you're called, but are you willing? But we should all be willing to serve God. The next is, I would like to ask you, if you said, yes, I'm willing, talk to your parents, talk to your youth leaders and tell them, hey, I'm willing. I don't know if God's called me to be a missionary, but I'm willing to do that. By talking to them, they can help you. They can give you some advice. They can be praying for you. And so I challenge you to do that. And then the next challenge would be not only talk to them about it, but pray about it. Say, God, talk to God about it. God, I'm willing to be a missionary if you want. And I pray that you would guide and direct me, give me wisdom, open up doors for me so that I can know if you want me to be a missionary. And finally, go on a mission trip. I recommend that all of you could go on a mission trip. I know with COVID right now, it's difficult, it's not impossible, but if you could at all possibly go on a mission trip, I challenge you to go. And as you go with an open mind, thinking, okay, God, want me to serve as a missionary. And ask lots of questions. Talk to the missionary. Ask them, what would it look like if I could come here to serve you? Here's what my abilities are. This is how God has gifted me. I want to serve God. I don't know if God wants me here, but I'm willing. How could I serve here? And then when you return, you're not sure, just talk to your pastor. Talk to your parents. And just keep praying about it. So that's my challenge for you. And if you have any questions for me and you want to talk to me about that, I'd be happy to do it as well. You can send me an email. My email address is bnevin@fim.org. You can get, you can talk to one of your pastors as well, and they can give you my email. They can say about it, and they can give it to you as well. So thank you so much for allowing me to share with you today. I wish I could have done it live. I prefer it much more in life. I don't like teaching by Zoom, but God is in control and he allowed this to happen. So thank you very much.